السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, we will try and complete this poetry of Hazrat Khwaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, which we are discussing over the past 2 or 3 weeks, inshallah. We all were occupied in something or the other before the Isha Salat, and then some of us must have checked our watches, and some must have waited for the Azan, and then we came towards the Masjid. So this is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants us to do all the time in our lives. Fafirru ilallah. And that is the solution to all our problems. Running towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Although this verse of the Quran Sharif, Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being told that he must say this to the kuffar, that they must give up their kufr and run towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, turn towards Allah. They must give up their shirk and turn towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But in a more general term, even the believers, that give up your sins and hasten towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Run towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In whatever occupation you may be, but once an order of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is directed at you, then give up all those things and rush towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's order. If it is namaz, then towards salat. If it is zakat, then towards zakat. If it is fasting, then towards fasting. If it's hajj, then towards hajj. If it is marriage, then towards marriage. If that person has got the ability to marry, the person has got the physical and the material or monetary ability, then if he knows that if he is not going to marry, then he will fall in sin, then fafirru ilallah will mean that this person should go and get married. But don't indulge in sins. So whatever is the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the person is in need of food, of clothing, of shelter, then fafirru ilallah, run towards your businesses, run towards your professions, run towards the marketplace, go somewhere and earn halal livelihood and provide for the family, for the children, for yourself. But don't extend your hand and beg without justification. The person should only beg if the person has tried all avenues of trying to earn halal, but he cannot seem to get sufficient. Then the person is eligible or entitled to go and ask for assistance and help or beg. But otherwise, the person, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, has kept the marketplace. Now, fafirru ilallah will mean that at that time, go to the marketplace and go and earn, and go and provide for the family. At that time, to sit down in the masjid 24 hours is not ibadat. If the person says that I will sit down for the next few weeks or few months now in the masjid and keep making Allah Allah, and in the meantime the children are starving, the family is suffering, they are extending their hands towards the neighbors for assistance and help, so at that time, fafirru ilallah will mean that you must now go from the masjid after you have performed your salat, then go to the marketplace and make an effort. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself has mentioned, وَابْتَغُوا مِن فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. And their fadl of Allah Ta'ala is sustenance. Then go and seek. Imagine after the Jummah salat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, after you have completed your Jummah salat, now you have completed one farz, you made fafirru ilallah, you came to me. Now, the next obligation if it is necessary. It doesn't mean it's compulsory that every person after Jummah has to go to the marketplace. We must not misunderstand that verse. There are some people, Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with enough, they've got sufficient, they don't really need to go to the marketplace, they've got enough income, so it's not necessary that they have to go. But for others, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, إِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Now disperse on the earth. Salat is over, disperse. وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. And go and seek sustenance from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Seek the fazl of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this is another obligation and a duty that now comes upon the person, that you have fulfilled one farz, now another farz. Kasbul halal farizatun ba'dal fariza. One farz is halal. One farz is the namaz. Now the person has fulfilled that obligation. Now go and earn halal risk. That is also another obligation. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given man a very balanced life. There is no extremism. In Islam there is no extremism. For everything there is a place. People who go on to extremes, then people criticize Islam. Some people go on to extremes and then others criticize Islam. But they don't see that this extremism is in the life of that individual. It's not that Islam has taught him to do that. There are so many cases of this nature where a person has got an obligation, he's got a duty, he's got a responsibility. But he is shirking that responsibility and he says that I'm fulfilling another obligation. Whereas the other obligation could be in the farz-e kifaya range, or it could be a sunnat or a mustahab. But the person will forego the farz to go and fulfill the farz-e kifaya or the mustahab. So everything has got a position, everything has got a place. There must be no extremism. So for firru ila Allah, that is the solution to the problems. But the duty of the people is this, that then they must look, who are the people that I need? They are striving, they are trying their best, they are trying to make ends meet, they are trying to provide for the family and themselves, but they cannot seem to make ends meet for whatever reason. So then it is the duty of those who have, that they must search them out and go and give it to them. So for firru ila Allah, turn away from all the evil and run towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Solution lies in that. And if a person tries it out with sincerity, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala definitely assists that person. Sometimes it takes a little while, but that is also Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's wisdom. But generally, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opens the doors. So at present, this is what happens, is that when the azan is being called out, we are still in our businesses. We are still in our professions. One sahabi of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had the iron melted already. It was hot, it was heated, already heated. And he raised the hammer now to strike. And just then he heard Allahu Akbar. So he didn't even bring the hammer down. He left it one side and hastened towards the masjid. This was their condition. رِجَالُ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ. Allah Ta'ala calls them Rijal, that they are the men. That means they are not children, they are not babies, they are not fox, they are not sheep. They are men. Allah Ta'ala says Rijal, they are Rijal. Who are the Rijal? Allah Ta'ala says they are worthy of being called men. That their businesses, their transactions, their buying and selling, and the tijarat, their bay and shara, it does not prevent them or does not divert them from the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That means all those things they engage in because it is the order and the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But it does not distract them from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's remembrance. That even in the business whilst they are there, in the professions whilst they are there, they are concerned, they are careful that they must not do anything that is displeasing to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Dunya ke mashghalo mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe, wo sab ke saath rehke bhi sab se juda rahe. They are in the mashghalas of dunya, in the work of dunya, everything, but still they are with Allah. Their hearts are with Allah Ta'ala. Their akhlaq, their muasharat, everything is according to what is pleasing to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And this is the purpose, as I mentioned many times, of this majlis, to try and bring within ourselves that akhlaq, that muasharat, that to make a change in our lives, to become insan. It is easy to become farishta, but to become insan is difficult. To become ghaus and qutub and wali, it's easy. A person can sometime sit down in the masjid, he's got enough money, enough income, so sit down in the masjid day and night, he can become wali. But to become insan, that when you are living with the wife, you're living with the children, you're living with neighbors, you're dealing with clients, you're in the masjid with the musallis, you're in hajj with the hajis, you're traveling with people, you're eating, you're drinking, in all these actions to be insan, that is the difficulty. Therefore, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, agar ghaus banna ho, qutub banna ho, wali banna ho, to kahin aur jao. Lekin agar insan banna ho, to yahan aao. Because I will test you. He says, I will shake you up. Every little thing, why did you do this like that? Why not like that? Aadmi, insan. My Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Akimud Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatuh, we were traveling with him. And the driver stopped his car. There was sufficient space on the left-hand side where he could have moved his car and parked, because he had to pick up one passenger. So he could have moved his car to the left and parked and waited. But he stopped on the road. So it just took about a minute or so, or less than that, for that person to come and jump into the car. But in that time, another car had to wait at the back, behind him. So he said, aapne isko takleef kyun di? Yahan par jagah thi, there was place there. Even if though it may be for a little while, but that 1 minute, why did you make that person wait unnecessarily? But because it was Pakistan, everybody is presumed to be Muslim there. So he said, ab unke liye teen dafa qul ho Allah padhkar yahan se sawab bhejo. Taake kuch unke khate mein aa jaye. Just to compensate, now is to read 3 times qul ho Allah and say, Ya Allah, I made this mistake. Now where are you going to find that driver? So send the sawab to that driver. This is what we are talking about, that they make your akhlaq right. That don't cause unnecessary inconvenience for people. I have mentioned this many times in my big night talks too, that it happens that a person is coming and he is late. Now he arrived when the imam was in the 4th rakat of Isha Salat. So definitely he is going to get parking right at the back of all the cars. Behind all the other cars, that's where he is going to get parking. So now he is going to come and go and make wuzu. By the time namaz is over, then he will make first his 4 rakat sunnat, sometimes 4 rakat, then 4 rakat farz. Now in the meantime, the others have already completed the salat and they want to leave. So just one car will now hold up the entire traffic. In our weddings, what happens at most of the masjids? That just our desire to meet the groom, but we have held up so many people. If the person has got the desire to wait to meet the groom, then first he must go check that his car is not obstructing anyone, or park properly, and then come and meet. Because the meeting is not farz, it's not wajib. But it is wajib not to cause anybody inconvenience. So this is what we mean by akhlaq. And this is what has to come in our lives. Jannat is a place where nobody will cause anyone any inconvenience. In Jannat, everybody will be happy with everybody. Wow. Why? Because nobody will be causing any harm to anyone. Everybody will be happy. There will be no inconvenience to anybody. That is Jannat. So if you want to make Jannat on earth, then same thing we have to do in our homes, in our businesses, everywhere. And if somebody else misbehaves or does not act according to Sharia, or he causes us injury and pain with his action, then there, although we have the right to retaliate, but we are told that idfa billati hiya ahsan. Now don't repel evil with evil. Now that person jammed our cars up. So now we, all of us, we come out with sticks and dandas and we say, right now, why did you do this? So we start bashing his car, or we start swearing him and cursing him. Instead of that, in a decent way, convey the message. So for everything, Shariat has given us away. So fafirru ila Allah, that run towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, give up the sins and hasten towards Allah ta'ala, run towards him. How when a person has got 10-20 customers and they are big buyers and some of them are carrying big wallets, then the person is running up and down quickly, he wants to serve everyone. Why? Because he's excited that he's going to make a profit and he's going to make a gain. So just like that, we should show excitement in running towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala.
Wow.
Our zikr, our tilawat, our namaz, our ibadat, in everything there must be that enthusiasm, that zeal. It must not be like a heavy mountain on our shoulders, we just have to get it off our shoulders. What kind of ibadat is that, where the person is not showing any kind of thirst for it? It's just an obligation, a duty. 5 times namaz is far, so we have to make it. It's not a question of have to make it. It's a question of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving us the opportunity to communicate with him. As my Shaykh Hazrat Mullah Hakim Ahmad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, he says, Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, ka aashiqana tarjuma. Ey mere pyare bando, jaldi jaldi wuzu karke meri taraf aa jao, tumhara Rab tumhe milne ke liye intizar kar raha hai. Now imagine if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying that I'm waiting for you to come and meet me now, put your head down and communicate with me, raise your hands and ask and beg of me, and I'm willing to give you also. It's not a question of not willing to give. Some people just get restless. One time they make dua and they want to see results, and if they don't see it, they become angry with Allah ta'ala. Many people have become very angry with Allah ta'ala. This is not an exaggeration. I actually receive calls. They said, Na'uzu billah. It shows as if they are very angry with Allah Ta'ala. I made so much of dua and Allah Ta'ala did not accept. But yet we don't check all the other departments of our lives. We don't check in our lives if we have got other things that are required and essential. And even if we have got, we've got namaz too, we've got roza, zakat, hajj too, we've got ibadat, we've got zikr, tilawat, we are staying away from sins, and then we are raising our hands and making dua, still we should not think that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala hasn't accepted, he hasn't heard. Because so many times you have heard that either Allah ta'ala gives us what we are asking, or he removes some difficulty, some bala, some musibat, which we did not even know it was coming towards us. Or he gives us something better. We are asking for something, but Allah ta'ala gives us something better. A child has got high temperature, running nose, and says, I want popsicle. So now the mother doesn't give the child popsicle, but gives the child something better in return. So sometimes we are asking for certain things, but Allah Ta'ala knows that for this person, this is not good at this time. So he wants to give us something better in return. And if we are going to get angry with Allah Ta'ala, who is there for us besides Allah Ta'ala? Is there anybody else that in whose hands our life lies, in whose hands our eyes, our ears, our speech, our heart, liver and lungs? All the doctors are sitting around a body. All the best professionals, the best scientists, everyone is sitting there. The hand is there, the feet is there, the eyes are there, the heart, liver and lungs, everything there. But something has left that body.
Wow.
Now ask all of them to bring it back. Try the level best to bring it back. Now they can discuss until doomsday, but nothing will happen. They will never be able to bring back that something. If they say there's no such thing as a soul and spirit and ruh, then what left that body? Something left that body. If we are standing around, then what left that body? So why can't they bring that back? Use all the scientific instruments to bring it back. So in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, our lives lie. Where are we going to get angry with Allah ta'ala and go? Who is there for us besides him? Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam's dua after 40 years, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's dua accepted, but after 40 years, Fir'aun drowns. So sometimes duas are accepted, but it takes a little bit of time to see the fruits of those duas. So don't become panicky and don't become excited. Exercise patience and believe that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is becoming so pleased with our ah, and with our crying and with our wailing, that he is listening to us, but he is extending the fulfillment. Allah Ta'ala knows, and then when he will give plentiful. So فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ is the solution to our problems. When anything is distracting our attention from Allah Ta'ala, that beautiful face is distracting our attention, then فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Don't make firar ila shaitan. Shaitan wants to trap us, so at that time run away from there. One young person just yesterday gave me one letter in which he wrote his dream. He was on the beachfront. In his dream, he's seeing that he's on the beachfront, and he sees Rasulullah also come there. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling him that the shaitan is coming. Run from here and run inside the masjid. If I recall exactly, but this is something to this effect, that run towards the masjid because shaitan is coming. Shaitan is here. So this youngster says that after that he runs towards the masjid. And he goes away inside the masjid. And afterwards he says that shaitan is now inside the masjid too. After a little while. And there's some human being there, some person there, who they say is that shaitan. And then they all start hitting him inside the masjid. And then, of course, it was a lengthy dream. But the interpretation of that was that this young person has got some friends who are taking him towards haram places, or they are going towards haram places, or he himself could be trapped. So he is told that run away from those places and run towards the masjid. Fafirru ila Allah, that's what it is, run towards Allah Ta'ala. Get away from those places where you are going to be caught up in sin and vice and evil. But then seeing that person inside the masjid again like a shaitan means that many of us in human form we come into the masjid, but unfortunately our characteristics are those of shaitan. As that person in Delhi, I think I mentioned it in one of my bayans, he was a very, very pious buzrug, but whenever he used to go for his namaz, he used to tell his khadim to blindfold him and hold his hand and take him to the masjid. So the khadim asked him a question, the Hazrat Allah Ta'ala gave you sight, then why do you make kufran of ni'mat? It's a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, use your sight, why must you blindfold yourself and go to the masjid? So he didn't reply. When they arrived at the masjid, then he took his hat out and put it onto his head. So when he put his hat onto the head of that khadim, now in the masjid, instead of seeing musallis and human beings, he saw pigs, dogs, monkeys, snakes, scorpions, all kinds of harmful animals and creatures. So he got a shock and he gave the topi back to him. But then he said, this is what I am seeing in the masjid. The person who is greedy, he's seeing him in the form of a dog. The person who has got filthy, dirty habits is indulging in homosexual behavior and other kinds of filthy things, and he's seeing him in the form of pigs inside. The person who is eating or taking interest in other haram earnings, he's seeing him in the form of pigs probably. Then those people who are mischievous and causing harm and injury to others, or they are always attacking the wealth, the property, the honor of people, he's seeing them in the form of snakes and scorpions. So he saw the characteristics. I explained to this young person that this is what it means. That you have got a lot of potential. It seems that you have got a lot of potential. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wants to see you away from that kind of life. And he wants you to gain his closeness and his ma'rifat. And he wants you to become the mahbub of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So those whom Allah ta'ala wants to save, then sometimes by means of dreams or other things, they are given some warning signs. Or some mubasharat, some glad tidings. But then we don't take it seriously. If a person sometimes is indulging in watching a lot of movies and TV and all kinds of haram and sees Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the dream, in the home, now the person gets very happy. I saw Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so therefore I became a jannati. Whereas he is trying to say, get rid of all this filth from here. Which day will Nabi alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever come and sit with the person and also watch the filth on the TV? Now if the person saw Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walk into the house and sit with him on the sofa, on the lounge chair, and after that watch that filth on the TV, so he must immediately realize that here there is a warning that you are hurting me. This is not something that I will ever sanction and condone. you are a Muslim, you are a believer, you are claiming your ishq and love for me, so give up this haram. That is what he is trying to say. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq.
Ameen.
To make amal. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kehte hai ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein. We discussed this, that now you say that even in sood and qimar, there is sawab. The lotto, all the money that will be collected, millions of rand, of it a percentage will be given for charities. So many Muslim organizations are also, the saliva is dripping from their mouths, waiting for the charities to come from the lotto collection. That is the truth what I am telling you. Hi, what are we seeing in these days? Allah Ta'ala must have mercy upon us.
Amen.
That person who is going to wait for charities from that, will he ever have the courage to after that talk against gambling? The person who is going to receive and accept those kind of monies for charities, then how will he ever have the courage after that to talk to the non-Muslims about the evils of gambling? When will istighna come in our hearts? Ay ta'ir la hoti us rizq se maut achhi, jis rizq se aati ho parwaz mein kotahi. Allama Iqbal says, ay ta'ir la hoti us rizq se maut achhi, jis rizq se aati ho parwaz mein kotahi. Oh, you bird that flies high in the air, it is better that you die. Death is better than that you accept some kind of sustenance or food which will cause a problem in your taking off and flying high. That means that kind of sustenance, that kind of earning, that kind of food, that kind of money that will come, it's going to create havoc in the person's spiritual life. The person will never find that kind of peace and satisfaction in his heart. He will always have a life of restlessness, anxieties and worries. It will never bring happiness. I have seen with my own eyes families which were united. When I returned from India in 69-70, then I'm talking about at those days, since those days I am seeing. But I know of those families which were united. Brothers, sisters, the whole family, they used to get together and there was so much of happiness and muhabbat. Then the father died and the insurance policy came. Life insurance. And the havoc that it caused. The brothers are not talking to the brothers, some of them up till now, up till today. Family members got split because of that insurance policy that came. Haram will never ever bring peace and happiness. Never. And alhamdulillah, it makes me very happy that many of our brothers now are wanting to get out of their bonds and out of their interests and out of all their type of haram.
Mashallah.
And many have, alhamdulillah, seen in and experienced the barakat after they made the effort towards getting rid of this type of haram from their lives. So kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. So hearts are getting roasted like the kebabs. Kehte hain ab sawab hai. How can there be sawab in these type of things? And he only gave two examples. But we can take this across the board in so many of our functions that we are organizing in the name of Islam. There is nothing in it but sin, and we are saying it is sawab. It does not require very much intelligence also to understand it. There are so many functions and programs. I'm talking about the world in general. Go to England, go to America, go to Canada, go to Europe. There are so many Muslim organizations. And what they are saying, that sawab, the type of get-togethers that they have, family get-togethers. I was in England, and I was told that there is a Islamic program or function at a certain place. And when I went there, then after a few minutes, we walked out and went back. So my host, he says, "What is the problem?" I said, this kind of family gathering where they say, now we must socialize, we must get to know each other. So your wife, my wife, our brother's wives, and the men folk, everybody meets each other, talks to them, finds out more about them, shakes their hands. Now, is this Islamic? But now they give it the name, Islamic, that we are trying to create Islamic brotherhood. And then afterwards, when they suffer the consequences of that, how many, even in our own country, even in our own localities, we are getting cases of where they say, my best friend ran away with my wife. My best friend. And the women are complaining that my husband went away with my best friend. So wherever there is a problem, it is when we are going to go across the boundaries. Otherwise, there's not going to be a problem. Like some people said that in Parda also you get a lot of sins taking place. A lot of women in Parda also are involved in haram and illicit relationship. Indeed they are. But where did it start? It started before the Parda. Before the Parda it started. Or when they did not adopt the Parda properly. That's when it started. So in Parda there cannot be any kind of illicit relationship. But it shows it was just a covering and a garb. It was not real Parda which comes out from the heart. So then that kind of Parda, the woman goes in illicit relationship, then you don't blame the Parda for that. So it is time that we realize that how long are we going to keep on pleasing people? In every function we say we must please the people. If those people cannot accommodate you, if you want to follow Sharia and the Quran and the Sunnah, if they don't have the time to accommodate your desires to follow Quran and Sunnah and Sharia, then why should we be so concerned about accommodating them? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if we please Him, He will please us. And if we are going to please people and annoy and displease Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then we are going to suffer in the process. So our intelligence should teach us a lesson that we should try and please our Allah. Yes, we should not break up family relationships, but if that person says, no, you have to come to the hall and you know that there's going to be videoing and music and photography and everything, so then you don't go there and tell him, well, this is not my way of life. If you want to organize it in that fashion and you don't want to accommodate our style, so then you go ahead, but unfortunately I will not be able to be present there. But then, you take some present, some gift a day or two before the wedding, or go and visit them a day or two after the wedding, and keep the good family relationship. There's nothing wrong with that. But convey the message also. But our weakness is this, that we will go there. We will enjoy the food, the five-star treatment that we get there. And we will watch all the entertainment, and all the haram that takes place, and then go and report to the Maulana. We do reporting business as if the Maulana had sent as journalists that go and give us a report. He had dispatched some journalists. So when they come and tell me, I said, but what were you doing there then? If you were so concerned, Maulana, you must see what happened there. This is how the girl was taken onto the stage by the... So what were you doing there at that time? So it shows there's no taqwa in the heart. It is just on the tongue. If there were snakes running there, big cobras and pythons, would you have still sat there and watched? At that time, why would the person run then? So we are worried about the pythons and cobras and snakes of this world. But there is an akhirat also. We don't say that we must only restrain ourselves because of the fear of the azab of Jahannam, but Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the azab of Jahannam so many places in the Quran Sharif, so many places in the Hadith Sharif. So if we can't get that much love for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then at least restrain ourselves fearing the azab. And it hasn't brought peace and happiness. This is the big problem. So don't worry about criticism too much. We will never ever be able to please everybody. And in fact, this is where our depression also comes in. If we try to please one Allah Ta'ala, then there's going to be no depression. But when we are going to try and please too many people, then there's going to be depression, because we can never ever satisfy everybody. We can never. And how many people's tongues are we going to hold? How many people's mouths and lips are we going to seal? But if we try and please one Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then even if they criticize, they say, well, I'm being criticized because of my love for my Allah. So what does it matter? If a person is in love with some woman of this world, he is unconcerned about what people are saying about him because he's madly in love with her. So he doesn't care where people are talking about him, they are criticizing him, nothing, because he's madly in love. Now for a woman who is going to die one day, she's going to turn to dust, millions of worms are going to eat up her body, and at present also there's so much of filth. I'm not talking about halal wives. I'm talking about the illicit and haram association. And the same the other way around, that if the woman is in love with some person, so what, they go out of their way. They don't worry about the criticism of the people. In fact, they brag about it. So if this is the condition of the love of this world, then that person who is in love with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, where will he have time to worry about what people are talking about him? As long as he is clear in his mind that he is doing it according to the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then he will give the same reply that Sahabi gave in the court of the king, where the food, the morsel, it fell down from his hand. So when he picked it up, he cleaned it and he was eating it, one Sahabi nudged him and said that these people may think low of us that you're picking up the food from the floor and eating it. He said, أَأَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِي لِهَاوْلَا الْهُمُقَى. Must I give up the sunnah of my Nabi because of this stupid and foolish people? The kings and the ministers in their sight were fools and stupid, because the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was so precious to them. This, my, believe me brothers, this is exactly what will become the condition of our hearts when we will make one Allah our goal and our object. And when we will say that, come what may, I want to please my Allah. Then if the entire world talks, if the entire world criticizes, if the entire world turns the other direction, this person will say, I've got my Mawla with me. I've got my Allah with me. I've got the kingdoms of Allah in my heart. I've got Jannat in my heart. The person has got Khaliq of Jannat in his heart. Then what is he going to worry about people's criticism and comments? At present we take it so serious that that person criticizes. What is that criticism? Nothing. Nobody is torturing us. Did anybody catch anyone and say that I'm going to burn you in the fire if you don't come into the hall? Did anyone say that we are going to whip you? We are going to drag you on the hot sand with hot stones on your chest if you don't participate? Nothing like that. Those people went through all those kind of things for the pleasure of one Allah. And see what Allah Ta'ala gave them. He gave them kingdoms at their feet. Roman Empire, Persian Empire, everything just fell at their feet. Few days, just a few days of mujahada, that's all is required. Just a few days of mujahada. And the himmat for that mujahada comes in the sohbat of the Ahlullah. This company of the friends of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it creates that himmat in the heart. It doesn't come like that. It doesn't come with speeches and talks and just loud claims and bragging. But when we will have that sohbat, as I mentioned in the Sunday morning program, that Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was told, now you must leave Makkah Mukarrama and make hijrat to Madinah Tayyibah. So my Shaykh says, he says that when he was told to go to Madinah Tayyibah, it became wajib and farz on all the sahabas to leave Makkah Sharif and go to Madinah Tayyibah. Yet in Makkah Sharif, the Kaaba Sharif was there, the Zamzam was there, the Safa was there, the Marwa was there, the Mizab-e-Rahmat was there, the Multazam was there. But Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is told that you must tell these people that wherever you go now, they must go with you. Your sohbat is far more important than my Kaaba Sharif, the Multazam, the Mizab-e Rahmat, and all these things. Because in your sohbat, they will get the Khaliq, they will get the Malik, they will get the Rabbul Bayt. Here they will get Baytullah, and in your sohbat they will get the Rabbul Bayt. So none of them stayed behind, although they knew that in Makkah Sharif 100,000 sawab for one zikr, one tasbih, one charity, one tawaf, one namaz, 100,000 sawab, and there was only 50,000 in Madina Sharif. But the sohbat of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam compensated for that. So that himmat comes in the sohbat of the Salihin, in the sohbat of the Ahlullah. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if He gives us an opportunity to be in the sohbat and the company, doesn't mean 24 hours of the day and 365 days of the year. It means even a little while, you will be surprised that what difference it makes to our hearts. That a person sometimes a little while, 5 minutes, and then after that he goes out, and that 5 minutes, for the next 50 hours sometimes, he still has that istihzar in his heart, that my Allah is watching. I must not do anything to displease Him. And if accidentally he commits a sin, then he's crying, he's tearing, he's asking Allah for forgiveness. Then that tawbah of his takes him to such heights which the angels also do not know. Na wo zauq hai, na wo shauq hai. Na wo zauq hai, na wo shauq hai. Na wo kaif hai, na surur hai. Hai har ek cheez hi be maza. Jo nazar se apni tu dur hai. Ha, what taste and what enjoyment can there be in anything if Allah Ta'ala is away from us? If Allah is displeased with us? Nothing. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal on whatever we hear. I thought we will move further than this first couplet, but whatever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wills happens. And it's not difficult, brother. It's just a little bit of himmat, a little bit of courage. Get out of the haram and see how it brings sukoon in the life. We diet. Who doesn't diet? And especially fat has become an obsession. So they go through any kind of hardship just to reduce the weight and get a slim trim figure. Wow. So if that is the kind of effort that people put in just to keep the body fit, to keep our soul fit, if we just have to do a little bit of dieting, just a little bit of dieting, a little bit of dieting from haram, and see how that soul, when it is strengthened and it is becomes qawi and strong, then even the body after that can be weak. But look at the sahabas, with one date they went and fought big battles. From where did the strength come? Sometimes it was one date which 3-4 sahabi used to suck or chew, because there was no food and they were on a long journey and they had to fight a strong enemy. Where did the strength come to pick up those huge swords and fight? Allah Ta'ala will then give us himmat and courage. Just a little diet for the strength of our spiritual bodies. And then see, when it becomes fit, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give us such noor in our hearts that each and every one will then sing, Shaho ke saro par taje gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai aur ahle wafa ke seeno mein ek noor ka darya behta hai. Each and every one of us will then sing that. Inshallah. Just a little diet from haram, that's all. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. Hey میرے رحیم کریم اللہ. Oh my beloved Allah. Oh my رحیم کریم اللہ. forgive each and every one of us.
Amen.
O Allah, forgive our major sins and minor sins.
Amen.
Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly.
Amen.
Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. O Allah, give us the himmat and the courage to fight against our nafs and shaitan.
Amen.
Like lions. Ya Allah, bless us all with sukoon, with peace, with happiness, with contentment, with prosperity, with happiness, with joy, with satisfaction, with sabr, with zuhad, with shukr, with qanaat. Ya Allah, hamari har khata ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, hum sab ko sehat de, afiyat de, salamati de, izzat de, rahat de. Ya Allah, bless us with dunya also and with deen also. Ya Allah, bless us with dunya and with akhirat. Ya Allah, bless us with the best in this world and the best in the akhirat. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them cure from all the ailments. O Allah, those who have been attacked and those who are in hospitals, O my Allah, give each and every one of them cure from their illnesses. Ya Allah, protect our iman, protect our lives and properties, protect our wives and children, protect our parents, protect the entire ummah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, there is no one for us besides you. Ey mere pyare Allah, tere siwa hamara koi nahi. Ey Allah, tujhe chhod kar hum jaye kaha. Oh Allah, if we are going to become angry with you, where are we going to go? Who is there for us besides you? Ey Allah, do not test us in this world. Do not test us because we are extremely weak. Ya Allah, do not test us because we are extremely weak. Bless us with good health. Bless us with the best of spiritual health and physical health. Ya Allah, those who are in financial difficulties and worries, remove the financial difficulties and problems. Oh my beloved Allah, jaisi musibat jisme bhi koi mubtala ho, sab ki pareshaniyon ko dur farma. Ey Allah, jab maut ka waqt aaye to khatima iman ke upar farma. Assist the mujahideen throughout the world. Ey Allah, musalmanon ki madad farma, nusrat farma, unko ek bana de aur nek bana de. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alaina innaka antat tawwabur rahim. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله